Blog Talk Radio.
The time will come when they shall not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
Bishop O.W. Prince, and I would like to welcome you to the O.W. Prince Ministries broadcast. Today's topic is entitled, Warnings to Pastors About the Corrupt Church. This is a general address by me to all pastors and churches. You may find this broadcast scripted on our blog at www.owprince.wordpress.com. I'm growing increasingly concerned about the genuineness of some of our pastors and the apparent absence of the authentic apostolic spirit of Christ in some of our churches. There seems to be an ever-growing need in the pastoral ministry and in some of our churches to meet the world's expectation and secular benchmarks of success. Many worship services disguise their organization's real purpose of raising money by calling it a church service. They have a hidden agenda of captivating and capturing individual members to teach them about financial stewardship to their churches in order to increase their church's financial and fiscal strength and visible attractiveness. Church seems to be more about business, entertainment, choir performances, physical attractiveness, and political correctness than about genuine salvation. Salvation is the cover story, while finance is the real goal. I know that this assessment doesn't apply to all churches, but an ever-increasing number of churches seem to be more about the money than they are about salvation. They seem to be purposely headed in the direction of wealth. After all, it is attractive, and it does offer perks that holiness does not. They have brought the element of the nightclub into the church to artificially influence the congregation to dance for the Lord. They have disguised club music as praise break music, using the fast tempo and heavy beats to manufacture an atmosphere of excitement and joy. If the joy is real, you don't need no music to praise the Lord in a dance. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Artisans of religiosity and motivational speech have taken the stage as pastors, spinning webs of nonsensical yet poetic rhetoric that persuades, intrigues, intoxicates, and captivates, but it does not save. Many pastors and churches are more concerned about what men think about them than they do about what God thinks about them. They attend seminary more out of a general need to impress prospective employers and churches with their credentials than out of a need to impress God with their hunger to know Him. Why would God need them to go to the seminary in order to learn about Him? As if seminary could tell them something about God. Reference 1 Corinthians 1 and 21. I'm here to tell you, seminary will not introduce you to God. That's not happening in seminary. you better be saved before you get to seminary, or you may end up just a bigger devil than you ever were. Many so-called Christian pastors tolerate improprieties and immoralities among their fellow clergy and in their churches in exchange for financial consideration, popularity, pastoral prestige and praise, and job security. They cover one another's sins up, not out of concern for quiet rebuke and eventual correction, but out of a sense of fraternal loyalty and a shared risk. No one seems to be concerned about saving souls anymore. Oh, that's their cover story. But I've seen a number of church services where the pastor ceremonially took in several new church members without them ever repenting, being baptized in Jesus Christ's name, or receiving the blessed Holy Spirit of God. They just prayed a prayer and danced around, or fell on the floor and rolled around a little, or gave a story about their so-called conversion experience, usually involving something personal, emotional, strange, and unsubstantiated. They usually ended up saying that they loved the Lord, and the church voted them in to the body of the church, and the pastor accepts them as a member. They walk away thinking that they are saved because they join a religious institution or a church. This is so sad, and it breaks my heart. No one there tells them that they have to repent of their sin, die to their earthly birth, and be reborn by burial first with Christ at baptism in his name, and raised with him through the newness of life by the gift of God's Holy Spirit. No one explains to them how the blood is applied to them at baptism and washes away their sin. So they never have their sins washed away. They never confess to God their sin, and they never enter into the spirit of repentfulness. I so much want to interrupt these kind of services, but that wouldn't be productive or prudent, and it wouldn't be wise on my part. There appears to be no standard of holiness in many of the churches these days, at least none that I can see. I personally witnessed practicing fornicators with living lovers, singing on church choirs, serving as missionaries, ushers, ministers, musicians, choir directors, youth leaders, and in other various capacities in the church. Adulterers and drunkards, crackheads and drug abusers are pastoring and conducting communion services. Open homosexuality and very obvious gay lifestyles are very visible in the church, and no one dares to address this abomination and correct it because they don't want to offend anybody. They want to be politically correct. They don't want to address this abusive behavior and affront to the kingdom of God. They don't want to correct anybody about their sexual impurity. They do not want to offend anybody. Everybody wants to be loved and politically correct. As long as the finances come in, the bigger buildings are being built, the larger pastor salaries are being paid, the prestige, power, and honor are being bestowed, everyone seems to go along with the program. Business as usual is the order of the day. But one day, God is going to require that all of these pretenders and false prophets and false prophetesses give an account for their behavior. What an eternally sad day that will be. Therefore, this is what the Sovereign Lord says: because of your false words and lying visions, I am against you, declares the Sovereign Lord. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and utter lying divinations. They will not belong to the council of my people and be listed in the records of Israel, nor will they enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 13:8-9. Repent! I made you a watchman for the people of Israel, so hear the word I speak and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you wicked person, you will surely die, and you do not speak out to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die for their sin, and I will hold you accountable for their blood. But if you do warn the wicked person to turn from their ways, and they do not do so, they will die for their sins, though you yourself will be saved. Ezekiel 33:7-9. Save yourselves, pastor. Tell people the truth. Do not have their blood on your hands. Do not have their damnation accredited to your stupidity, ignorance, greed, and idolatry. Save yourselves, pastor. Save yourselves from this adulterous generation. Obey God's commandments. Obey God's word. Deliver God's word as God delivered his word to you. Now, if God didn't tell you anything, don't you say anything. If God didn't lead you in any path, don't you lead anybody else in any path. You cannot teach what you do not know, and you cannot lead where you do not go. Repent. Obey God's commandment and repent and feed God's sheep with God's truth and not yours. Feed God's sheep with God's truth and not your church's truth. Feed God's sheep with God's doctrine of salvation and not your religious theological interpretation. Feed God's sheep and repent. I'm O.W. Prince. Keep looking up.
Power.
Purpose.
Purpose.
On the O.W. Prince Ministries Broadcasting Network.